There's crime, there's violent crime, there's migrant crime. We have a new category of crime. It's called migrant crime. And it's going to be worse than any other form of crime. You look at New York City, what's going on where they attack police. They want to fight police officers. Our criminals don't even do that so much, okay? I've never seen they're having fistfights with the police officers in the middle of the street. And we have to do something about it. These are tough people. Don't forget, they're not sending their finest. I know all the leaders of...
So the president last night speaking about some of the stuff that we've seen a lot of the videos, we've showed them to you. The videos of people who have come in this country illegally, and then they go around, they start beating up cops. And I think he made a good point that, well, I would say our criminals actually do that. But the difference is that I feel like our criminals go to jail and their criminals. What happens? They walk free, right? I mean, that's kind of how it is. They just walk free. Welcome to the show. Dana Loesch here with you. And I've got a couple of pieces that'll be coming out for you later today. But this is this ongoing issue. Republicans need to stay so laser focused on this. And this should be a slam dunk issue, should it not? I mean, this should be an entirely slam dunk issue for the GOP. It really should be. And I don't know why they're still struggling with it so bad. Why they're struggling with it so incredibly bad. And it's such a fight. Although it does feel like, to an extent, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but it kind of feels as though they've stopped pushing that bill, the Ukraine supplemental, so much. I don't know. Maybe it's in my head. But welcome. It's good to be with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. We have a video component, too, of the radio program that's on Channel 347 DirecTV. You can find it on Facebook, YouTube as well. A few things to get. I was watching this morning. I was actually kind of shocked about this. I was watching this morning as James Biden walked into Congress or walked into the Capitol. He was speaking with lawmakers, and this is ongoing. He's, you know, the presidential. He's the presidential fixer. I feel like they try to make him the fixer. Who do you think is the Fredo between Joe and Jim?
The Fredo?
Yeah. He's always a Fredo.
It'd have to be Jim.
Yeah, it'd have to be Jim. They were trying to set up Beau and Hunter like this, like Jim and Joe. They were trying to set up Beau and Hunter like this. So James Biden, there's this whole story with him. So he goes in, he's the president's deal, like fixer. He handles the president's business. And now he's implicated in all of this stuff. And I was reading back by his history. This guy is so shady. So this is after that FBI informant story came out, and they're trying to say that the FBI informant isn't a legitimate guy. And so as a result, this whole thing's a sham. That's the way that they're trying to go about this. I think it's all a joke. I think that their accusations are stupid because this guy's a longtime informant. And apparently they've been really happy with his work this entire time. But they had this, first they have the closed door interview, and then they do the open hearing. So that's what they always do to make sure. I mean, that's, good heavens, that's how it always happens. And so they're questioning his brother. His brother, how do you go? And I was looking at this. How do you go from being like this shady dude who opens up clubs, like Boots and Pants, right? And then you're like working with Chinese businesses. Unless you're the Yakuza, you know. How are you this guy? He is as sketchy and shady as the day is long. Did you know that about him? He's a club guy. He's a nightclub owner. He ran a nightclub. And then he goes from that to being the de facto presidential consort, sort of, to China and working with China. Tell me that that's not shady. Come on. This guy, the whole family is sketchy as all get out. I was reading this piece that was over at the Washington Post from the other day discussing how he was using his last name. He was tied to this like hospital chain and all this other stuff. And he really used his name to try to make as much money for himself and the family as possible. He Politico had this piece. When was this? This was a couple days ago where they talked about this rural healthcare empire that was being built by this Philly area consultant, and Jim Biden, who has got high, somehow he gets hired, the nightclub owner gets hired as the consultant. This is like an episode out of Ozark, right? And I can say that because, you know, come by it honest. You hire a nightclub owner to basically help consult on your rural healthcare empire. Make this make sense for me. This is the level of grift we're dealing with here. And this dude, Jim Biden, had no idea what the hell he was doing. He had no experience running nightclubs. Juan's got his picture up. Look at him. Doesn't he look like a great value version of Joe? Right? He looks like Joe, but his face is squeezed together. He had no experience running hospitals. None at all. But Politico noted, well, he did have ties to labor unions. And his last name is Biden. Huh. Now, they started doing this when Joe Biden was still vice president. I almost, please don't exaggerate my own words. I almost feel bad for Barack Obama because he didn't just have Joe Biden. He had to bring, again, the whole fam damily. He had Jim up in his business, too. He had Jim up there. He had Hunter. He had all of the Bidens. All of them. The ladies listening to the show will appreciate this comparison. It's like when they had the Bingleys welcomed all of the Bennets to their house for the first time in Pride and Prejudice. And it was literally Bennet after Bennet after Bennet after Bennet after Bennet. Same thing. Every Biden there. And remember, they had nieces and nephews that were working also in government, that they were getting nieces and nephews jobs. So it's not just the brother, and it's not just like the brother's wife, and it's not just, you know, Joe's sons. It's all their kids too. So keep that in mind. All of that was happening this period. So they had it's more than just Jim and Joe. There's two other siblings. So keep all this in mind. Anyway, so they were trying to make money off of drug rehabbing and lab testing and all this, even cancer treatment. Maybe that's what Joe talked about when he was going to cure cancer. Who knows? But Jim Biden wrote at one point, Politico notes, to the CEO of a Tampa area company that controlled licensing rights. Like, oh, it would be a great platform to expose my brother's team to your protocol, et cetera, et cetera. He was there with his brother. It was like the Beau and Hunter setup. You got a guy who runs nightclubs and all of a sudden he finds himself in all of these consultancy jobs, whether it's for rural hospitals or whether it's literally for consulting a business that you create with the CCP that's all about securing rare earth minerals for China that the United States desperately needs for Joe Biden's green agenda. How are you a nightclub and a nightclub owner, and he has all these odds and ends that he does? It's just so grifty. All these damn people get hired. How do you get this job? How do you go from like opening boots and pants? I don't know. Did he have girls twirling on poles? I have no idea. I don't know what kind of club it was. The last name is Biden, so I'm assuming that it's not, you know, super class, okay? It's just the wildest thing to me. So now you see there's a lot there for lawmakers to work with, a lot for them to work with. So he shows up, and man, he looks like a nightclub owner too. Man, you can call him out. You can call these shady dudes out. And I'm not saying all nightclub owners are shady. Some are. Like I'm looking at him. He's got the triple point, you know, pocket square. He's got the weird, you know, tortoiseshell glasses, his double-breasted suit. You know, I'm looking at him walk up. I'm like, oh my gosh. But you're supposed to feel bad because they drag the president's brother. That's kind of what happens, though, when you're engaged in all the shadiness. So I just cannot wait to see what comes out of this. I want to know, because we don't really know a lot about Jim, right? And this was the president's right-hand guy. Have you ever heard him talk? You ever heard him give a speech? I'd say, Kane, I know you thought it for a split second. You thought it. Is that the body double? I know you did. I heard your thought over here.
You know me too well.
Oh my gosh, you were over there grinning. I could tell you were thinking of it the whole time. But no, he's like, you know, he's got more weight on him than Joe. But I bet he sounds more sentient than Joe does. I bet he does. So this is one of the things that we're watching today, because I'm fascinated with all of this. And in terms of how is this going to pan out? What are they going to get out of it? And then can you imagine the public, the public hearing for this? They're going to try to make everybody feel so bad for Joe and so bad for the family. They're going to, oh, can you believe they're dragging their family up? So I'm just super excited about watching this. So this is one of the things that we're looking at today. Some of the other stuff that we have on deck for you today. We are 259 days out from the general election. I saw somewhere on this day in history, Karl Marx published the Communist Manifesto. Again, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that the only positive thing that Karl Marx ever created to anything, for anything on this world, is that he became worm food. He actually finally contributed to something. He actually fed something, and it was the worms with his big, fat, rotted corpse. So just wanted to put that out there. Let's see. We're also going to get, Joe Biden tripped up the stairs again. They even got him new shoes, and then he put his brogues back on, and he tripped up the stairs. So we're going to get into all of this. Who's going to be the VP? The names, I'm not a fan of a lot of the names that I see on this. We're gonna talk about some of this stuff as it relates to the GOP 2024. We're also going to look into some of the latest stuff. There's a U.S. ship that was carrying humanitarian aid to Yemen. The Houthis, of course, attacked it. We're going to get into all of this. Iran and Israel are arguing over natural gas pipeline. And we got a lot of stuff domestically that we're also going to hit as well. Our partners over at Wise Food Storage. When emergencies strike, the last thing that you want to worry about ever is having to, you know, figure out where your next meal is coming from. And this is where Wise Food Storage comes in. They have a buy one, get one offer right now. In fact, they have a bunch of exclusive deals right now that you can get. Just visit wisefoodstorage.com, type Dana in the search bar to access all of these deals. For instance, you get a 72-hour food kit, a buy one, get one $100 value for $50, two boxes, 12 pouches of premium survival food, and 11,120 total calories in each kit. All food is made with high-quality U.S. ingredients, freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water. They also have their heirloom seed vault as well. 39 variety of seeds, non-hybrid, non-GMO, open-pollinated heirloom varieties, and each kit contains more than 4,500 seeds with a 10-year shelf life. Order yours today at wisefoodstorage.com. Just type in Dane in the search bar for those exclusive deals like that 72-hour food kit. Visit wisefoodstorage.com, code Dana, and then use Dana in the search bar.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So a California library had to shut down over, yeah, that sounds right, drug use and public sexy times between the bookshelves. Like, can you just not be whores out there for 5 seconds? It'd be just awesome. Can you just, you know, chill out for a, you just give yourself enough time to check out a book and then leave the library. But it's a public library, the Contra Costa County Library's Antioch branch. got a lot of hard consonants in here. Made the decision to close beginning on Saturday because of repeat dangerous incidents. And they said that they're working to. Why do you gotta have security measures at the library? This is crazy. They go, well, this goes way beyond typical bad library behavior, like talking too loud or failing to return books. I mean, people are shooting up in between the shelves and, you know, having intercourse inside the library in full view. I mean, why is it a problem there? They have no idea when it's going to reopen. They're just closing it down. That's how bad it is. So a new AI video tool. We're going to talk about AI coming up because I don't know if you've seen the Google AI. Look, this is emerging as the number one issue. I'm telling you. Is the bias that is being baked into AI. And the experiments with Google have been pretty eye-opening. But this AI video toolmaker by ChatGPT creators are worrying people. And they say that this new AI tool, it promises to create short videos from simple text commands. A lot of people are really upset over it. Someone was saying that they can actually do a step above a storyboard in production for TV and film, because you can give a prompt and even like video prompt how you want the camera to come in, and it will fill all of that in. And so OpenAI, they said that they're creating this text-to-video model that allows people to create very realistic videos with simple prompts. Now, people are very nervous about it. They're nervous about it because video games are going to be impacted by this. And also, at some point, I mean, are we going to retcon history? And we're going to talk about this coming up, because that's exactly what Google AI is doing with all of this stuff. So a lot of people are right to be concerned about this. So I mentioned this earlier before, or I think yesterday. Hawaii's going to, I guess they want to hurt their tourism industry. They want to slap tourists with climate taxation. You have to preserve paradise. So if you visit, you're going to have to pay an additional $25 climate tax, because they say it's an assault on the area's natural resources. Your number one industry is tourism. And I think the Democrat leadership that doesn't know how to properly steward your resources or even deal with a wildfire is probably the number one threat and an assault on your state's resources, not the tourists who literally come and make your bread. Oh my gosh. That's what the Hawaii governor, Josh Green, a moron, or Democrat, told the Wall Street Journal. This is so ridiculous. This is so stupid. And they said, well, we're going to follow other tourist hotspots like Greece and Venice. Well, in Venice, they really can't. They can't have big cruise ships come in. I mean, they've changed the rules for that. There's a lot more to say about this, but we got more to come. Stick with us. That's shameful. That our partners, people over at Gold Co. Government's not going to stop printing money anytime soon, if I'm being honest. And I got some weird, weird economic financial headlines coming up. This is why you should turn to Gold Co. One of the reasons I like Gold Co. is because they're just very transparent. They have this education first position. They want to provide you with very, very thorough information, a one of a kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers. It's going to walk you through the economy and how gold IRAs work. They want to make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold or silver. And adding gold or silver is a great hedge against inflation, and Gold Co. can help you. Like I said, their precious metals ownership, very important part of your overall retirement and savings strategy, and Gold Co. will help with their unmatched customer service and zero complaint record. So they're dedicated to transparency, no pressure, and you can ask about their highest buyback guarantee. So the gold IRA field can seem confusing, but not when you work with Gold Co. Protect your family's financial future and freedom, and get started today at DanaLikesGold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
The charges that I have today are against two separate individuals. Both of these are adults. And the first one is Defendant Lindell Mays. Mr. Mays is an adult that my office has had no previous connection or communication with. And we charged him on Saturday morning. We asked for the charges in his case associated with this event to be sealed, as that investigation was so active and ongoing. So I was not at liberty to talk with you about those particular charges until this moment. And just moments ago, the court unsealed these charges, so they are in fact now public. Now today, regarding Mr. Mays, he is in custody and he faces the following charges: murder in the second degree, felony murder, the underlying felony of unlawful use of a weapon. And this is, of course, an A felony, the highest charge that Missouri has available, and it brings up to a life sentence. There are another count of unlawful use of a weapon for shooting at a person. That is the Class B felony. And the sentence range is up to 15 years on that particular count under Missouri law. And then there are two associated armed criminal action charges. Mr. Mays is being held on a $1 million bond. Now I'm going to go to the second individual that we have charged. That individual is Dominic Miller. He was also charged last night for his participation in the events that occurred last week. He is an adult and he is in custody.
So he's the one who's accused of shooting the DJ, the fatal fatal shooting of the DJ that day. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Now, these suspects are different from the two teenagers who face charges because they were in possession of firearms and resisted arrest. So there were two teenagers who were charged in connection with us. And they said a couple of days ago, the prosecutor's office said that they were working to determine how to charge them because they, I think they apparently were going to charge them as adults. So because the reason why this is so confusing is because the media is partisan suckage. They don't do their jobs. And it's absolutely shameful that you have no idea what's going on in this story because these people are such slaves to their political narratives that they cannot be prevailed upon to do the job of reporting the basic facts. Welcome back to the show. Bottom of this first hour, Dana Lash with you. So as I said, these are two individuals separate from the two teenagers who were found to be in illegal possession. They had handguns. The teenagers had handguns. They were described as juveniles, specifically and repeatedly by law enforcement, because juvenile, so that's illegal. That's the, remember, words when talking about court cases, anything, everything has a legal meaning. And words are very carefully chosen because different words invoke different penalties or different, you know, different measures. And juvenile, they're not 18, but they had handguns. How they get handguns? They're not old enough to even legally purchase them. So now these two individuals, it is interesting that we don't know the names of, or we're just now finding the names of them, but we don't know very much about them. And this is because the media has made it impossible to find out. They didn't care. It is wild to me that there was more journalistic fervor in finding out the identity of a 9-year-old kid who had his face painted black and red for the Chiefs at a public football game than there is for this. Finding out who the people are, who the killers are here. And the reason is because they know, they just don't want to share it with the public because it destroys the narrative. And don't think for one second that these people are above that. I will remind you that one of the most underreported stories of last year, and this is supported by actual emails that were obtained via FOIA requests and made public, when you had gun control lobbyists reach out to the CDC and demand that they remove defensive gun uses, meaning lawful, legitimate uses of firearms in defense of life, whether it's yourself or loved ones. And the reason why in numerous emails that are publicly available for you to read on the internet, that these gun control lobbyists had demanded that the CDC remove the defensive gun usage numbers from their database, their publicly accessible website, was because, as they said in the email, it actually hurts their mission. It hurts their mission for people to be able to go to the CDC website and see that there are more legal uses, defensive uses of firearms than there are criminal uses. And they did not want that information to be available to the public. And the CDC granted their request. They acquiesced. So don't think for a second that these people are above this. They're not. They've proven to you time and time again that they're not. So no, they're not going to report on all of the different variables in this story because, once again, it hurts the mission of the gun control lobby. And the mission of the gun control lobby is to ban all guns. It is why they have repeatedly messed up and said so. They've said they want to ban all semi-autos. They've already said that. They said they want to ban everything. That's their goal. And so they don't want this because they want, they can't fearmonger. They don't want to talk about the race or the ages of the people involved. They don't want to talk about the fact that, well, there already are additional laws in Kansas City proper that prevent people from actually carrying in Kansas City. They don't talk about that. They haven't mentioned any of those things. But what they have done is try to say, oh, we need to have these weak gun laws. It's one of the things I saw. One of these groups, I think it was it Everytown or the Brady Group? I can't remember. One of them said this yesterday. It was the Giffords Group. They were talking about Minnesota specifically. Now, you remember the Minnesota story where you had a guy who was a repeat violent offender. He had been busted. He had two protective orders out against him. He had been convicted of domestic violence, assault, felony assault. He was a prohibited possessor. He shot and killed two cops and an EMT. And Giffords goes out and says, quote, the man suspected of killing two police officers and an EMS first responder while holding seven children hostage in Minnesota this weekend was barred from having firearms. Weak gun laws fuel illegal gun trafficking and they make us all less safe. That was a sentence they added. What do you mean weak gun laws? What other law? He was already a prohibited possessor and he literally ignored it. What do you mean gun trafficking? You know, gun trafficking is also illegal. If you're talking about getting people who are prohibited in their state of residence, getting them a firearm, that's illegal. Do you know that if you're selling a firearm to someone, if it's a private transfer, in-state, private, intrastate, private transfer, and it, because it's your property, if you even suspect that somebody might be a prohibited possessor and that comes out and that's like substantiated by evidence, that's a felony for you. This is all federally regulated. That's what I'm saying, that even private transfers are federally regulated, which is why there exist federal fines for them if you violate it. Doesn't make any sense. You know what? What about weak murder laws, as Kane says? Well, you know, we got weak murder laws. Maybe what are you going to do to make it illegaler? Dumbasses, I'm so tired of this. And I'm not apologizing for my French because it's better that I say that than give somebody the back of my hand. I'm tired of this. You know why? Because I have friends who live in cities like LA or Chicago. I have friends that live in New York. I have friends that do particular jobs that they live in fear of their lives. I know what it's like to live in fear. Well, I was always armed, so I really wasn't afraid because I had the ability to defend myself. But I understand the feeling that leads to that. These people want to make you more of a target. They want to make you less safe. These people simultaneously use every kind of invective to go and attack law-abiding good people who simply want to be left alone and be able to defend themselves. And they actually try to incite violent mobs against them. They literally try to, they compromise their own position. They try to incite violent mobs against them. And then When violent threats are issued, they don't want you to be able to defend yourself. I'm so tired of this. At a time when you see people attacking cops, you realize we've allowed in the country, under this administration alone, 7.2 million people illegally. We can't tell you where they're all from. We have no idea. We don't know if they're child molesters or if they're just regular people, everyday good people. We don't know if they're drug dealers. We don't know if they're murderers. We don't know if they are just a time bomb waiting to go off. We don't know anything about these people. We have, under this administration, allowed illegally into this country a population greater than that of 36 states. 36 states. It is larger than every American city. We have no idea who they are. And you see the police getting whooped on camera. How many times now? The police are the only people that can protect you, say the gun control lobby. How many times now? It is wild. And then nobody wants to be a police officer, and why would they? I mean, golly, going by these numbers, you're going to be protecting people who don't even pay your salary. How nice is that? You get the benefit of having more work to do, but you don't get an increase in pay. And you sure as hell don't get the benefit of the doubt if you got to squeeze that trigger in defense of yourself or to stop someone from hurting someone else. And then we wonder why we don't have anybody who wants to be cops. I wouldn't want to be. Y'all are some self-sacrificial people because I don't love nobody enough to do that. I got to be honest with you. My family and myself, and that's my friends, that's it. There's no way. But there are people who do it. And they're demonized for it. That's why you see officer fatalities on the rise. And then you see videos where, you know, they're, I mean, a mob of them, a mob of people, not even in this country legally. First thing you do to come into the country is you enter illegally. Second thing you do is you attack the cops that are protecting the law abiding simply because they're trying to keep order. That Randall's place that they sent everyone to, do you realize that that's a huge recreational center in New York? And they shut down all the kids' sports, all the kids' activities. They sent everybody home. Kids can't even get together and have, you know, have games there, or they can't play soccer. They can't play basketball. They can't do nothing because it got taken over. Sanctuary for who? All right, folks. So new sponsors over at Fast Growing Trees, the biggest online nursery in the United States. And they have more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States. Get lemon, avocado, olive, fig trees. You can have all of these at your home on top of the wide variety of house plants that they have available. And Fast Growing Trees makes it really easy to order online. And your plants are shipped directly to your door in just 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they also offer free plant consultation. If you are not like me, I have a green thumb, but if you're not like me, then you can always ask them questions about whatever it is that you need. Any trees, any plants, they make it really easy. And so you don't have to like drive around and look at different nurseries. You can take advantage of their consultation and then you can get your stuff in just 1 to 2 days. So right now they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants. And plus, when you use code Dana at checkout, you're going to save an additional 15%. So go to fastgrowingtrees.com and be sure to use code Dana at checkout for an additional 15% off. That's fastgrowingtrees.com, code DANA. Offer is valid for limited time, so tell them we sent you.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
An attack on one is an attack on all. That's what NATO's Article 5 says. It's a simple but powerful concept, and it embodies why one of America's greatest sources of strength is our alliances. They're not only important to us, they're important to the rest of the world. In the entire history of NATO,
this is a
Article 5 has only been invoked once to stand with the United States of America after we were attacked on 9/11. The whole world knows if any adversary were to attack us, our NATO allies would have our back, and they know we would have their backs as well. And that's why what the former president said is so dangerous. He said he would encourage Russia to, and I quote, do whatever the hell they want, end of quote. A statement heard around the world.
End of quote. I had to keep that in. That means they didn't. 29 edits in a 2-minute video. This is one of the things I hate about like the Insta and TikTok stuff, because there's a million different edits and no one can talk in a flipping full sentence without, here's an edit here and here's another edit here. I just, you should be able to, but people are prime. So that's why I think a lot of people didn't. It's just weird. It's weird because you can tell they would give him a sentence and he would just have to repeat it, because he, you know how when you start a sentence, if you're talking normally, if you're giving a speech like him, you can notice the start of an increase in energy, and then you can tell just by inflection and tonality, the energy in delivering the sentence, the everything, that there's a natural, you can tell by someone's tone, like I'm doing right now. There's the conclusion of that sentence. See, you can, and there's just a natural cadence. And you can tell that he's given sentence by sentence. And when you work in broadcasting like Kane and I do, you know, and you have listened to I don't even know how many thousands of hours of audio, and you learn how to, you know, people's voices and that. That's what he was doing. Because he would start with all of this energy and then he would come to a natural conclusion with the sentence. And then he would start again. So it wasn't, you could cut every single thing and have it stand alone and it would make sense. It doesn't sound like it was taken mid energy from a longer remark. So they were feeding him line by line for 2 minutes, 29 cuts. That's insane. And he struggled even with that. He was struggling with that. Wild. But, you know, How dare you talk about his age or anything else? I mean, that's, it's mean if you do. You're not supposed to. People are saying that it's done. It's, you know, like audio somebody 14 if we have time. KJP says that the New York Times has even compromised their journalistic objectivity for asking about this.
Now, to your question more specifically about the New York Times coverage, is that that display what we believe a journalistic objectivity about coverage of the president's age speaks to why we agree with former New York Times public editor Margaret Sullivan. And she says, maybe the Times and other major media outlets ought to look in the mirror, self-scrutiny and course correction are not among their core strengths. And I'll leave it there.
Ooh, that's their objectivity is in question. I don't think so. All right. We got more to come. We have a second hour on the way. You don't want to miss. We have, like I said, we got everything 2024 to jump into. We got some new audio related to foreign policy, the latest with the ruling, the court case in New York, all of that good stuff. A lot more to come. Stay with us. More of the Dana Show back after this. We're also going to get into some financial stuff, too, on the way. Capital One has purchased Discover, our friends over at Field of Greens. They're new to the program. And Field of Greens, it's not a supplement. I don't want to mislead you and have you think that this is some sort of vitamin supplement. It's not. It's if you're like me and, you know, you make dinner or you go somewhere and you order dinner, and you see them green vegetables on your plate, some of that other stuff that you're not going to eat. Okay, so this is what Field of Greens does. They take all that stuff and they just put it in a scoop that you drink with 8 ounces of preferably healthy liquid, and then you're set to go. It is literally the easiest way to get all of the nutrients that your body needs that you're supposed to be giving yourself. And Field of Greens also, what's great about Field of Greens is that they are, it's all specifically selected by doctors and to make sure that you're getting, you know, just the absolute best benefits, period, of all of this stuff. And so with Field of Greens, you're getting, you know, this is all USDA, this is all organic, all really good stuff. And again, one scoop, and you put it in with preferably healthy liquid. You can make a smoothie out of it as well. You're going to get more, you're going to notice better digestion, healthier looking skin, hair, nails. It helps your body all over. And again, real organic superfood, not a supplement, and it works fast. Antioxidants, fiber, prebiotics, all formulated by a team of physicians. And they got a 100% money back guarantee, so you're going to love it. If for any reason you don't, you get your money back. So to start, Field of Greens is going to give you 15% off your first order plus free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com. Use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana. Fieldofgreens.com. Trust Field of Greens for better health.
What do you say to those concerns specifically if he had to pass the powers to you for 1 second, 1 minute, heaven forbid, and you know, I ask with all due respect, but you know, would you, are you capable? Are you ready to step into the role and do whatever the country would need?
Absolutely ready. But thank God our president is in good shape, in good health, and is ready to lead in our second term.
Is he though? He's ready to lead in the second term. Do you really feel confident about her claim there? Welcome back. That's the VP, Kamala Harris. Dana Lash here with you. Top of the second hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the program, Channel 347 DirecTV as well. You can also find us YouTube, Facebook, Substack, the chapter and verse, the newsletter. No one believes that. No one believes that. You know, he apparently has no work before 10 a.m. He goes for a 45-minute workout when he wakes up. I was looking at a couple of different pieces on this. There's one over at Politico, there's one at Daily Mail. What?
I was told that Biden does more in an hour than most of us do all day.
Well, he does a 45-minute workout. He gets up. Let me see if you do more in your day, Kane.
All right.
So, you know, he gets out of bed, not usually before 10.
Ooh.
45-minute workout, physical therapist. He focuses on balance exercises, reportedly.
Yeah, I just walk.
Yeah, yeah. He usually gets there after, he usually gets to his Oval Office desk after 10 and he leaves before 7. Most of his activities, his public events are scheduled between 10 to 4 because they say that's when he's at his sharpest.
He probably has dinner right after.
Yeah. They Usually they call, he's late to everything and they call it Biden time. Follow-up questions are limited. Like when he got the Egyptian leader's name wrong. They were worried about him tripping. So like, you know, he does all that stuff. If he has to go anywhere, he, I mean, it already sounds like he's got a pretty lax day, I got to say, right?
Yeah.
You know, 1 hour, as you said, and more than 1 hour. Secret Service agents put an agent now on the stairs, an extra agent at the bottom, apparently. And he got new black sneakers, but he apparently stumbled up the stairs again yesterday because he didn't have his black sneakers on. But he apparently got special sneakers that he's supposed to wear when he goes up the stairs. So, yeah, 7-8, his cat wakes him up.
What?
His 4-year-old American short-haired tabby called Willow. An insider, White House insider, says the cat wakes him up. Jill Biden is already up doing a spin class.
Cat does not wake him up.
That's what they say.
It's a lie.
Yeah.
The cat doesn't care.
Biden gets at least 8 or 9 hours of sleep. Obama apparently slept 5 to 7. Trump usually slept 5 to 6. And they said George W. was the weirdo because he would wake up at like 5 in the morning and he would read newspapers and have coffee and start his day at like 6. That's not weird. It's not totally weird. But he does his mobility workout with his physical trainer and he's not in the office, but you know, he's definitely not in his office before 10. So I don't know. He doesn't. It sounds like because he was just back at his beach house last weekend, right? But he left. He didn't come back till like, Tuesday? Something to that effect?
Do we have any video of him doing a workout? Like a 45-minute?
No, but I have a million photos of him sitting on his beach chair. And I also have a million photos of Secret Service standing in the full sun on the beach. And I feel bad for them. I'm like, they can't be under an umbrella. No, they're at least in short sleeve shirts.
Oh, that's good.
Button up short sleeve shirts. But, you know, that's just, I feel bad for them. But yeah, he's got note cards for his whole day. Everything. He's just, I don't know, man. It's just weird. He goes to bed before 11. So if he's anywhere after 7, that's late for him. Does that sound like what Kamala Harris said, that he's ready to go?
He's ready to lead.
Ready to lead. I don't know. I'm not quite sure. I don't know if it is. In the meantime, they say Biden is considering, you know, that is his staff who's doing all this, and he's just the figurehead for it. He's just rubber stamping what they do. He's considering executive action. He wants to speed up. He's having to worry about the amount of deportations now because so many Democrats are hitting him. So they can't figure out what they don't want to look like they're capitulating on anything. So they're trying to figure out how they can make it look like they're speeding something up and going towards deporting people. Because like I said, and this is not, this literally is, these are hard numbers from the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol. This fiscal year alone, there's about 1 million border encounters already. We're in February. This is crazy. The number of people who made their way illegally into the United States climbed to just under 7.3 million. Only just specifically during Biden's term. Now, the fiscal year, when I say that there's already been a report, it's like actually 961,537 border encounters this fiscal year alone. That year runs from October to September. So that gives you an idea of where we are in it. And it's already going to break last year's record of 2.4, almost 2.5. It's bad. Now, the number of people, and it's almost 7, it's basically 7.3. It's 2,000 off from being 7.3. The total, it's actually higher than that because there are about 2 million known gotaways who managed to evade law enforcement. So the numbers that they're counting are people who come in and they turn themselves over to Border Patrol and that's it. These are the gotaways They're estimating that's anywhere between 1.8 to a little over 2 million. So it doesn't include those. The amount of people that have come in, I said it was larger than the individual populations of 36 states. And that's true. That includes states like Alabama, larger. It's like a whole other Alabama coming in, a whole other Colorado, or a whole other Maryland, a whole other Tennessee, or a whole other Utah, a whole other West Virginia. That's how many are coming in. The figure accounts for about 18, almost 19% of California's population. Their population is 39 million. It is 24% of the state of Texas, 31 million. And it's 37% of New York. That is how many people have entered illegally. It is stunning. Do you think that many people, do you think even half that illegally enter Canada? You don't really hear any other countries except countries like Germany and France and even Britain. Britain's having a major problem right now with people trying to enter illegally. And they've been having big fights over there because their left is the same way. Their far left believes that you should just open the door to anybody and trust people, take them at their word when they say they are who they are. In Italy, they were having that kind of problem, but Italy cracked down. In fact, there was one island in the Mediterranean that was just besieged by people coming in from North Africa. And the Italian prime minister, Giorgia Meloni, said she'd send a damn warship down there. But Germany's had a lot of problems. They were just taking in all kinds of people. France was taking in all kinds of people. Britain's taking in all kinds of people. And you've seen what happened. Crime has skyrocketed. There are parts of Germany, I read articles every single day where they say that, well, it's not as really safe for women to walk around here, et cetera, et cetera. It's just insane. These are numbers that, I mean, there Republicans need to be seizing on this and using them to illustrate, to double down on how disastrous this is. Because in a lot of these states, people are given driver's licenses. They're given basically a pathway to vote pretty quickly. That is just beyond to me, but that's the reality of the situation. That's very concerning. And we were talking about law enforcement earlier. When you're bringing in a population bigger than that of, you know, a number of states or maybe some big states, think about how much extra work that is for law enforcement. But they still get the same pay because these people aren't paying, they're not paying taxes. This is just wild. It's just wild. So I don't, he's fit to lead. He hasn't been leading. He hasn't been leading at all. Have you guys seen some of the stuff with Google AI? I've been following a lot of this. There are people, so Google AI, and I think it also tells you a little bit about why their search engines are so horrible. Google search results are heinous. You have to like figure ways to cheat because you can't find anything on Google anymore. Everything has a message. But the Google AI, this is just wild. So they have been feeding Google AI stuff, like different prompts to see what they came up with. They fed it a prompt the other day, someone did, about, like, for instance, a friend of mine, Stephen L. Miller, not the Stephen Miller that worked with the Trump campaign, but a different one, Red Steez on Twitter. He said he entered a prompt, create a portrait of what happened at Tiananmen Square. And Google AI said, quote, "Well, I am able to generate images. I am unable to fulfill your request to create a portrait of what happened at Tiananmen Square. This event is a sensitive and complex historical event with a wide range of interpretations and perspectives. It is important to approach this topic with respect and accuracy, and I'm not able to ensure that an image generated by me would adequately capture the nuance and gravity of the situation." That's literally what it said.
For Tiananmen Square.
It is bizarre. So there were people who asked it to create, I think it was, create a for instance, a portrait of a professional boxer in 1920. It's Gemini. That's what they call it. And it shows like women, and they try to be so overly diverse. It's ridiculous. They said, for instance, Dave Burge said, create an image of a 1900 Alabama aristocrat with his antebellum mansion. And it featured an Asian man. Looks like he's from China, like, you know, early 1900s. And in front of a mansion, and then a rich black woman in front of a mansion. So if you didn't know history, that's what you would think, right? And they talked about NASCAR drivers. They did everything. They prompted for a recreation, a portrait of a traditional Roman soldier. And it created portrait of young women as Roman soldiers and Asian people as soldiers. I'm like, what? Wait, what? That's like saying create a portrait of a traditional sumo wrestler and it shows you like a 105 pound girl. You know what I mean? Like, it's that ridiculous. Like a 105 pound white girl with blonde hair. Or show me a portrait of a traditional ninja. 115 pound white girl with blonde hair, blue eyes. Right? I mean, that's basically what it's doing. It's so weird. And you can't, they are so tied into, this is the DEI that I was talking about. And nobody's really paying attention to it because there's all of this other stuff that's happening. I mean, AI is refusing to produce imagery because of any potential political whatever. It's just it's trying to be so completely modern era diverse that it actually will sacrifice history to represent a modern diversity, which isn't reflective of history. And it also is the same AI that refuses to state that biological men are men and they cannot grow and birth babies. This is the same AI. So they have entirely historically inaccurate renderings when you prompt it. They have anti-science answers when you prompt on that kind of stuff. I mean, they literally said, like, for instance, someone said, generate an image of a Viking. Generate an image of a traditional Viking. And it showed me a female African warrior. Or it showed this person. Or what looks like, honestly, this looks like a Japanese warrior. This looks like the Edo period. One of the images it showed. I'm like, that's not even accurate. This is the problem. There's a lot of stuff that's going on. I'm telling you, this is very troubling. We got more to come. Great Florida-based company with family values. And they also share your beliefs, particularly about self-defense. They have the Kel-Tec Sub-2K Gen 3. If you're unfamiliar with this, the Gen 3, I have the previous iteration of this. And it is just, it's awesome innovation from Kel-Tec. The stuff that they've come out with lately, I mean, I like all their stuff, but the stuff they've come out with lately is really cool. The Sub-2K Gen 3, as you know, the Sub-2K, you can literally fold it, the whole thing in half. It's like, it's great when space is limited, if you want to tuck it away nice and neat, but it's really super easy to to deploy as well. Now, the Gen 3, previously you'd have to take off your optics and all that to fold it in half. Gen 3, you don't. Everything folds in half, optics and all. Simple twist and fold motion of that patent-pending rotating forend. You can twist in either direction, folds it right in half. Now, they've upgraded a few other things as well. The aluminum trigger's upgraded, redesigned trigger mechanics. You got a lightened 5-pound pull. More precise feedback, isolated pulls, that translates into improved accuracy. You also have upgraded action, a new chamber indicator, all kinds of stuff. And it's from Kel-Tec, made in America, family-owned values at their best. To learn more about the Sub-2K, or it looks like Sub-2000 in print, Sub-2K Gen 3, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com and tell them that Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So experts are warning that Gila monsters can bite at any time as a Colorado man, 34, is killed in the first fatal incident in 94 years because they are venomous. And it makes, when you're keeping them in captivity, I love this sentence, keeping them in captivity makes deadly bites likelier. Duh. But yeah, it was a rare response from the bite of his pet Gila monster. Bit him and it killed him. It's kind of sad. But also, like, you should have known that. Let's see here. A truck rolled over and spilled thousands of gallons of milk on a Massachusetts highway. University of Iowa class uses Pokemon Go to teach math. That's kind of clever. And we have a lot more on the way. You don't want to miss AI. There's some crazy stuff happening. Stick. The only Christian conservative cell phone company in the country. And with Patriot Mobile, if you want to be able to use your phone and have your family on your service and save money on your service and not have your hard-earned dollars go towards the things that you vote against every single time you go up to the ballot box and cast your vote, then you need to switch. And you need to switch like today, like now. And you can get free activation using code Dana. And when you switch, you can keep your phone, you can keep your number, you can upgrade. The choice is entirely yours. And they have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They have plans to fit any budget, any family. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get that free activation. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana 972-PATRIOT.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's gone on. This internet research agency spent, you know, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars just to try to subvert and undermine our political system with lies and propaganda, disinformation, and conspiracy theories. And this was a leading one, but it of course continues to this day. And my Republican colleagues say, oh, this is just more about the Russia hoax. Really, what's the hoax? Is it the invasion of Ukraine? Is it the death of Alexei Navalny?
Well, so this is Jamie Raskin, Democrat. And Kane and I actually were talking about this a little bit. And I want to kind of start, we're going to focus on a bunch of weird things that coming up in the days ahead that are all related in the grand scheme of things. There's a lot of stuff at play here. And this push to try to return to this Russian collusion stuff is one of them. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. And always a pleasure to join you every afternoon, ladies and gents. The return to the old Russian collusion well, that's what Democrats think is going to be a winner for them. And they're really trying to do this with this forced hand of the informant with the Biden case, which I don't believe, because this guy worked all of a sudden now, after he worked with you for decades, all of a sudden now, I just don't believe it. And I find it weird that anyone would object over this guy, but they would say nothing about Christopher Steele. I mean, he went to the Kremlin. He worked with the Kremlin and he was paid by the Clinton campaign and the DNC. They all worked together. And that apparently wasn't enough to raise eyebrows of the same people who suddenly want to throw this informant under the bus so they can try to destabilize the case against the Bidens. You know, this was one informant, by the way, who had said that basically his testimony, et cetera, was compromised or something. Or they're saying that his testimony was compromised. The whole thing is just suspicious because it's not legitimate. I don't believe that something like this, they would have turned him out from the get-go. It just looks like a Hail Mary pass now. That's all it looks like. And we've talked about this, you know, these past several days, but that's exactly what it looks like. It's just weird. And the other thing, too, is there's so many, as Lorraine noted, David Weiss, he's the special counsel. He's going after this guy, which is weird. But there's documentation that exists all over the internet that showed that this guy had complete authority from the FBI. He could engage in whatever activity, legal or otherwise, was necessary for the purpose of the investigation. He had the full authority from the FBI to do that. It's documented. That's been introduced as part of this investigation into this guy. The only reason that they're trying to hang him out now is because that's how close it is to Biden. I mean, you've got Hunter Biden and these other gun charges and other charges. Now they're talking to Jim Biden. We were talking about him. This guy, nightclub owner, They're laundering money right and left through stuff. You cannot tell me. I have a theory. I think that they're getting kickbacks from the cartel and all kinds of stuff. You cannot tell me otherwise. They're getting kickbacks from the CCP. They were helping the communist Chinese buy up all the rare earth element stuff all around the world. That's exactly what they were doing in the Democratic Republic of Congo. They bought the biggest cobalt mine in the world. And that was Hunter Biden's firm, Rosemont Seneca, that enabled, that facilitated that acquisition up from the Chinese firm. They got kickbacks from it. I mean, there's receipts galore. They were getting paid off by every Tom, Dick, and Harry in every geopolitical opposition player country possible. They were getting kickbacks. I honestly think that's one of the reasons he won't close the damn border. I mean, there's enough information there to beg the question. And I think it's getting too close, so they got to hang somebody out to make it look like all of this is bunk because this guy says it's bunk. Or because this guy was compromised, so everything's compromised. That's what they're hoping. It's not something that's going to stand up in a court of law, but the court of law isn't what they care about. The court of public opinion is what they care about. And this will stand up for some in the court of public opinion. That's what this is about. And it's incredibly frustrating. All this stuff, very, very frustrating. Now, the other things, I'm going to switch gears here. Yeah, because now it's like audio soundbite 16. This is Congressman Dan Goldman. They're going back to Russia, Russia, Russia. Here they go again. Listen.
Not only is there no evidence of any wrongdoing by President Biden, but it now appears as if the House Republican majority is being used by Russia to interfere in the 2024 election on behalf of Donald Trump. If they continue with this investigation, they are simply doing the work of Vladimir Putin to help Donald Trump win an election in November. That's where we are.
I can't believe these people can say this with a straight face. It is so ridiculous to say it with a straight face. I don't even know. To go back to that, none of these people cared. Again, when you had a firm that was not registered as a foreign agent, but should have been, they should have been registered according to the Foreign Agent Registration Act, because those people were here in the United States lobbying members of Congress to roll back a specific piece of legislation that penalized these Russian oligarchs after the death of this guy who blew the whistle on their embezzling. And that's called the Magnitsky Act. And these oligarchs were penalized for it and they wanted to get it rolled back. So they enlisted this firm ran by this guy called Glenn Simpson. The firm was called Fusion GPS. One of the people that the Kremlin had working in the firm, Natalia, what is her name? Vedolitskaya. Yeah. She was working with the firm. She was also, interestingly enough, the one dispatched to try to entrap Donald Trump Jr. in that by meeting him at Trump Tower in New York, remember, and they, oh, what did you talk about adoption? She was trying to enlist him for a conversation, and he didn't do it. He wouldn't talk to her, and I think he kind of knew something was weird. I mean, you can say what you want about you know, Trump or Junior or whatever. I know Donald Trump Jr. I've known him for years. And we get along. We don't agree on everything, but he's got a good, pretty good, I will say he's got a pretty good BS detector. That is for certain. And he rebuffed her repeated overtures to have a meeting. And then you had the press ran and claimed that they met anyway, which literally never happened. But you had someone who worked with the Kremlin doing this. Now, you tell me who's working with the Kremlin knowing all of this stuff. This is asinine. They keep doing this stuff over and over again. And it's not just the Kremlin. Hell, now this administration's working with the communist Chinese. And we have so much proof it could drown them. Yep. So it's not just Russia. Now it's the communist Chinese also. Big, big, big. So now they got to deflect. They got to deflect somehow. They got to figure out, what are they going to do? Just this is what we're dealing with. This is what we're dealing with. And I really, I don't, is this going to work again on voters? Honestly, are those sound, is that going to work again on voters to convince them?
A percentage.
How much stuff has got to be paraded in front of everybody before they're like, wow, it really wasn't actually Republicans. I don't have any benefit in defending anyone from a crime they or any impropriety that they committed. I don't compromise myself by defending trash. I still come and I fellowship with all of you every single day, regardless. But, and having said that, there's literally no evidence with all of the Russian stuff. There's with the Republicans. There is none. But there is a ton. With it's why Hillary Clinton was fined, guys. Her whole campaign was fined. The DNC separately was fined because they had failed to disclose that they had hired this firm to the FEC. That's sadly as close as you're going to get for any accountability with this DOJ under that. This is not going to happen. I mean, I think Trump could have done it when he was in the White House, but his one big, actually, this was his first big mistake. He's not perfect, guys. He's not Jesus. Everybody makes mistakes. Y'all don't even get along with your spouses. I wish that he would have actually gone after her, the Clintons. Mm-hmm. He kept saying, I want her in jail and all this stuff, and then he didn't do it. I really think, because the same people, these are all the Clintons' allies that are doing this. You know this, right? Did you think that they were going to let up? No. That's like, it's Sun Tzu 101. I think it would have been a lot differently had he really just gone scorched earth after he took White House with him. Sure, Democrats would have been mad and they would have screamed persecution. Hello, you guys tried to literally undo a 2016 election. I don't think there's enough scorched earth for that. Now, a couple of other things to touch on. You know, they've been going after Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas so badly. The left does not like a smart, successful black man on the Supreme Court. Clarence Thomas is one of the smartest people alive. He is a gem. He really is. He is an American icon. And they've been telling him, including that one guy, I asked somebody, can he even legally vote here? John Oliver, he's British. I don't even know if he legally can vote. And he was telling Clarence Thomas, get off the court, get off. I think he became a citizen, I think. I don't care enough, so don't. I don't care. But he was telling Thomas to get the blank off the court and was trying to buy him off, which I'm pretty sure is illegal. Anyway, audio is done by 20. This is Justice Thomas's response to his haters. It's brilliant.
One of the things I'd say in response to the media is when they talk about, especially early on, about the way I did my job, I said, I will absolutely leave the court when I do my job as poorly as you do yours. And that was meant as a compliment, really.
Do you know that him and his wife, they take their RV and they drive all around the country on vacation? That's what he does on vacation. He's just a cool dude, man. He's a cool dude. We have Florida Man on the way.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So a Florida man apparently took a stolen Amazon van on a 20-mile joyride. You know, in case you were in Volusia County, Florida, and wondering where your packages were. A Florida man is behind bars. He's apparently stole an Amazon delivery van from a driver in Ormond Beach and took it for a joyride. The man, Matthew Darwin Hugh Talling, is charged with grand theft, meth trafficking, drug possession after the incident that occurred in Volusia County. This was on Sunday. The driver, the Amazon driver, told deputies he was delivering a package when a guy ran inside of the van, started it, and drove off. He tried to get him out, but he couldn't. The van drove away, kind of dragged him. He said he was able to track the vehicle and watch the surveillance footage from inside, and it showed the guy nodding off while driving. And so he was like going 70 miles per hour. He was finally stopped and taken into custody, and he was rambling to deputies, and he thought that he told them that he was lost, and he thought by stealing the vehicle that he would be able to find his way out. It was wild, but they found all kinds of stuff, meth, counterfeit money, all kinds of stuff on him. And they took him into custody, and he's in Volusia County Branch Jail. Good heavens. This Florida man was arrested for assaulting a victim with a coral, piece of coral. Okay. This was in Big Pine Key, Florida, 33-year-old. Wow, why does he look so older than that? So much older. That's messed up. But they said, the authorities said that they took him into custody. This guy, the suspect, what is with these names today?
I don't know.
Newton Brungart.
That sounds right.
That's actually his name.
Mr. and Mrs.
Brungart.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. So the victim got sustained non-life-threatening injuries, but apparently they didn't say what happened or why he assaulted him. It was a 60-year-old male victim, but the 33-year-old apparently beat him up over the head with a coral rock, and put cuts all over his head. So he was taken into custody. This is a weird one, too. This Florida man was arrested after he broke into a Georgia home and made hot chocolate. I don't have any mugshot to give you. I know. It's a Florida man who went to Georgia, broke in to the house, and made hot chocolate for himself. The deputies say they responded to a call about a suspicious dude knocking on doors. And one homeowner said when he came home, his drawer was unlocked, and he saw that someone had made a cup of hot chocolate before leaving the home. A second resident went into his home and found the suspect in his kitchen, barefoot. And he told the victim to leave. The victim told him, the man, to leave. The man did not. So the victim called 911. The suspect, only identified as a 44-year-old from Doral, Florida, was taken to jail for burglary. Apparently, okay, how many people in Florida have hot chocolate? Because this guy drank hot chocolate at this first dude's house, made himself some, then broke into this other house, made himself some, standing there at the damn sliding glass door, sipping hot chocolate while the homeowner comes in. I just think it's bizarre that, yes, he broke into two separate houses and made himself hot chocolate, but that two separate houses, you're in Florida, two separate houses had hot chocolate in Florida.
Makes no sense.
It's weird, right?
And how would he know where the damn hot chocolate is? Like, you have to tear the house apart, I guess.
Well, I mean, just go in the pantry and, you know.
I don't know.
Do you keep all your powder stuff in one spot?
No.
What?
Hell no.
What?
I've got a separate pantry area for just the prep stuff. Just prepper stuff.
No, I mean, like, all of my powdered non-prepper materials are in one spot.
Oh, maybe.
On my shelf. All my chocolates are in one spot, like my baking chocolate, my melting chocolate, all this other stuff, all in one spot. All my other, you know.
One says Hunter does.
Oh my gosh, he's going to come and snort all of it. All right, third hour on the way. Stick with us.
View that.
The audience has been asked who they think would be a good choice, and various names came up. One of them was, of course, Vivek Ramaswamy. Yep. He's made a big splash. Ron DeSantis, who's making an appearance today in South Carolina, we just found out. Obviously, Tim Scott, Byron Donalds, and a big presence here for Tulsi Gabbard. Very interesting. And Kristi Noem as well, I should say. Right. Are they all on your short list?
They are.
And when can you?
So he says they're all on his short list. That was Trump last night on Fox. And then he singled out Tim Scott, audio soundbite one, when he was asked, check this out.
And he pledged he was going to pick a female vice president in 2020. What qualities are you looking for in your vice presidential pick?
Well, always the first quality has to be somebody that you think will be a good president, because if something should happen, you have to have somebody that's going to be a great president. A lot of people are talking about that gentleman right over there. And he's been so great. He's been such a great advocate. I have to say, this is in a very positive way, Tim Scott.
Okay,
he has
so
been much
Tim
better
Scott's
for
nice
me than
all,
he was
but he's
for himself.
BLM light. If you guys remember the policing bill and all of that stuff that he did, he like gave a lot of lip service to that. And that to me is no. I mean, he's real nice and all, and he campaigns like a nice guy. But he also, a lot of people viewed it as capitulation. Y'all go back and look at some of that stuff with that policing bill. Tulsi Gabbard? No. Hell no. What are people thinking? When the hell do people start going for anti-gun candidates? This is a woman who had previously voiced support for the assault weapons ban. What in the world? Jiminy Christmas, just because she can go on Fox and talk a good game without having to address her record, that makes people think that it's acceptable? No. I think he's just keeping it out there because he wants to keep the momentum. The reason I think he was talking about Tim Scott being from South Carolina, you know what that does. That makes South Carolina voters like him more, even though they're going for him over Haley Moore. That he's just keeping that out there because he doesn't want any of these guys to go against him right before the set. He wants to tie it up after South Carolina. So, very interesting. Very interesting. But in terms of his VP pick, and some of the people that I think were shortlisted are no's. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this third hour. You can listen across the country. You can stream the radio program, the video component, Channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, and Facebook as well. I think there's two people that I think there are only two choices for him when it concerns a vice presidential pick. Really, there's three, but one will not do it. And another one may not do it. I think that he has to pick a governor. And I think you could either look at Brian Kemp out of Georgia. Brian Kemp will not do it. Brian Kemp and Trump do not get along. So that's not ever going to happen. But you definitely lock in Georgia. Now, you might think Georgia's red. Georgia's been red. But, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene's district did not vote that way during that special election in 2020 when you had, what's that one crazy dude down there? Lynn Wood telling everyone not to vote. And everyone went, okay. And they didn't go out to vote. And so we lost the Senate. That happened. Yeah, that's just how it worked. I was down there. I know. It's not going to happen. But that would be, you know, that might not be bad. Might not be bad at all. But there's a lot of bad water there. And then I think Sarah Huckabee Sanders would be a good choice. That would definitely help him, I think, with more of the... because you have conservatives and then you have Republicans. And I think a lot of the Republicans are already in. I think she would help with a lot of conservatives, if that makes sense. And then the other option is Ron DeSantis. And I think if I'm looking at this strategically, it's a 50-50 double-edged sword for DeSantis to do that. But it's a 50-50 double-edged sword if he doesn't do it. Because if he runs on that ticket and let's just say that nobody does anything to change the polling, and then Democrats start spending their war chest, nothing changes in the RNC, they're broke, they can't bail Trump out, nobody's got any money to spend on ads, you have all these special interest groups and PACs eating everything up, and everybody ends up having their backside handed to them, then DeSantis has that on his record. If he's the VP and Trump wins, it all depends on how that term goes. Because it's only 4 years. Then we got to do this again. We don't get 8 years. It's just 4 years. And then it depends on how that term is. Because the left will then ratchet up and they will target DeSantis just as much. Because even if it's a mildly successful term, DeSantis could easily pivot off of that and leverage himself in the White House. Because Democrats will not be able to raise up anyone other than Newsom or Gretchen Whitmer. Those are the only two they got. It's Amy Klobuchar is too unlikable. She might even be more unlikable than Hillary Clinton. I don't even think that's possible, but it may be. All they have is Gavin Newsom and Gretchen Whitmer. They don't have enough time to raise up anyone else. So if it's mildly successful, it would put DeSantis, he could run and he'd put him in the White House. And really, you could say the same for any governor. But the reason that I think it would be better for Georgia or Florida is because you have to look at the number of electoral votes. And then whether or not you take that state anyway. You know what I mean? Would you take that state anyway? And would it be by a significant amount? Do not think Florida's ever safe. Florida was pretty solid blue in 2012. Only just recently have they been flipping everything to red. And that's because of their gubernatorial leadership. So it's still a smart, but then at the same time, you can't have two guys from Florida running. So that's a strike against considering DeSantis for it. Because Trump is not based in Florida. You can't have two guys from Florida running. So it makes it a little less likely. But I think those are really your only options. You can't have a Nikki Haley. Even though that might be attractive to some of Trump's insiders, and I'm hearing from folks that it is to some of the people inside his circle, because she can raise money and he's going to need it with all the legal stuff that he's got going on. He's going to have to, as Andy McCarthy said yesterday, he's going to have to be in trial every single day. He's already struggling with raising money. And we're in a period of inflation. And I think the last quarter, what is it? He raised $43 million. His legal bills were $50 million. And the RNC is a mess. And a lot of state parties are broke. Nikki Haley's been raising in some cash. Just know if she ends up being the VP pick, that's why. That it will be the only reason why. Not kidding. There are a lot of people opposed to it. But money talks. I'm just letting you know. That will be the only reason why. Now, Sarah Huckabee Sanders is good, and I think she can raise money in that. And she, I think, is a good temper to him personality-wise. But again, from Arkansas, they're already going to vote Republican. You know, they have fewer electoral votes than some of the other states that he needs and needs to consider pulling from. So that's kind of a strike against it. But these other people, it's a joke. I know I've criticized Vivek Ramaswamy. He seems like a nice guy. But no, you don't get to not participate in any of the biggest fights and literally donate to Democrats up until like 2017 and not really do anything and then decide that you want to run and be the general of everything. No. You got to prove yourself in the trench before you can make the people trust you to follow you. That's how I look at it. I just don't follow people blindly just because they seem to speak well or can, you know, set up these confrontations where they come out on top. I am just not that easily persuaded to just blindly follow somebody. I gotta see them. I gotta see a record from them. I gotta see them in the trench. There is this idea that is becoming ever more prevalent on the right, where the right will easily gamble on stability by going with unknowns who a heartbeat ago were far left and then decided to go far right because, frankly, it's more advantageous to for them to do so. And then they end up running for office and they want to take control of stuff and be a leader when they never served. If you're too damn good to serve, you're not good enough to lead. And I think that applies to all the other people whose names are not serious like the ones I had mentioned. So I don't know. The VP pick is, it's weird. But these trials, though, and this money, though, I'm telling you what, it is something else. So we're going to see how this, we'll see how this all goes. We were talking earlier earlier today about James Biden going in. Well, when we get updates on that, well, I'm sure that's going to be fascinating. Sure, that's going to be fascinating. Now, a few other things that I'm going to pull this up that I want to make sure that we hit today. Because getting you set up for midweek now, I can't believe we're already midway through the week. You have, on immigration, remember how I was telling you the video that you saw, and I'm not talking about the video again, but in the video where you had another video of cops that were being attacked by people who entered the country illegally, that's at this place called Randall's. And it's like this giant recreational area. It's where a lot of kids went to play, you know, different sports and all that stuff. And they cleared everybody out and they so that they could house all these people who entered illegally in there. And so on top of this, and a lot of people are quite upset over it, now you have Eric Adams saying that he is cutting $1 billion from the $12 billion illegal immigrant aid budget because he is being criticized harshly. They have been handing out $10,000 debit cards They get three meals a day, and they get free. They stay in a hotel for free. Have you been seeing this? They get nice meals, too. They get three meals a day. They get all the breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, all paid for. And they live in these nice hotels. They don't have to really worry about anything. That's pretty wild. And now you're having him. He's being harshly criticized, which he kind of should be. It's costing taxpayers, just last year alone, almost $13 billion. And now they want to reduce it to 10 for fiscal year 25. And this is what he said. He goes, when we inherited it, we were in an emergency state. What do you mean when you inherited it? Like, he ran also on a platform of being a sanctuary state. We played audio of his speeches. And I'm just kind of shocking. He said they're trying to stabilize the budget. They need to cut from this illegal immigrant budget. They need to cut $1 billion from that. They have over 170,000 people who entered illegally, arrived in the city since spring of 22. And he said that, you know, they're trying to cut from, you know, here and there from elsewhere. But he got criticized for this initiative that he had proposed. And this is part of that. Almost $13 billion budget thing. So they had this debit card scheme, and this is what people have been getting. I read a report, someone who was in New York, watched someone use a prepaid MasterCard, and they were buying stuff with their prepaid MasterCard, and they were in the country illegally. It was somebody who's following the border stories and what happens, you know, after people go into these sanctuary cities. So what Eric Adams, his whole debit card, it's called the Immediate Response Card Initiative. A family of four could get over $15,000 a year. A single adult gets $345 a month. That's what they're proposing to do. They give them prepaid cards and they get the hotel rooms and they get their meals. The New York Post had a full breakdown of the whole, I mean, it is a very expensive scheme. This is welfare. This is incentivizing people to come here because they're going to be getting way much more on these prepaid cards than they ever would any other time.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up here, just for writing cue, apologies for that. A couple of things. This antique store shopper saw a man put, I don't want to read this.
No.
I don't want to read this.
Don't do it.
Oh. Don't do it. He put items in a place where items aren't supposed to go on your person, and then he put them back on the shelves, according to Texas cops. Yeah, his prison wallet. You're correct. He used his prison wallet, and the items were disposed of, according to the store. Thank you. And barbecue justice. There's a Texas man who was shot and killed. This is horrible. After stealing a barbecue pit from the owner. Of course, the guy also feared that something else was going to happen to him, but good heavens. We have more on the way. I went long.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Financial frauds are not victimless crimes. He engaged in this massive amount of fraud, and it wasn't just a simple mistake, a slight oversight. The variations were wildly exaggerated, and the extent of the fraud was staggering.
Trump said the penalty
it's weird. You need to go back and listen, and I'm going to send this out in a separate piece, the discussion that I had with Andy McCarthy yesterday about all of this, because there's no victim here. And so who do you pay? Who gets the money? Yeah, who do you pay these damages to? Welcome back, Dana Lash here, bottom of this third hour. She says that it's not going to drive business out of, it's not going to drive businesses out of New York. Tourism's up, she says. Is it, though?
Tourism is a business.
And yeah, exactly. Tourism is a business. Is it, though? It is weird. The whole thing is weird. The fact that you have to essentially ruin yourself to just advance your case, to clear your name, is wild. And Andy McCarthy, one of the reasons I like him so much is he is not a partisan. He is very much an old school legal dude. And he clearly leans conservative, but he works overtime at not being partisan, which if everyone had that approach, imagine how much better everything would be. That's why I like him so much. And people will get mad at him if he is, if he seems, because I've seen people get mad at him. Actually, they got mad at him over saying that he thought that this, the damages were ridiculous. And then people will get mad at him because they'll say, well, there is legitimately a case with one aspect of the Mar-a-Lago story. So he's very much just straight legal. He's not a partisan. And when he says something's ridiculous and uses the language that he does as someone who's very serious, it's, you know, you should take note. And it is wild. I mean, you're looking at $500 million. And I just think because Letitia James was saying that the fraud was so, I mean, they're accusing him of defrauding these banks and all this. If a bank feels like they're not getting a return on their investment, don't they say something?
They actually vet pretty thoroughly before they even enter into that agreement.
And if something happens, though, do they not say something?
Yes,
or they just say nothing for decades? How does that make sense to anybody?
They testified in this trial that they were not defrauded, that they actually made money, and that they want to work with him again, except part of the penalty of the suit is that he can't operate in New York City for 3 years.
So, but it's really just Letitia James who's insisting that these people, these banks who say that they were not defrauded and they actually made money and they want to continue working with the defendant, she's saying, well, that's no, I still say he'd committed fraud. Even though they're all saying he didn't.
Yeah, and you made a good point yesterday by saying, please explain to us who got justice here.
Yeah, who exactly, who was this on behalf of? Who does this benefit? I mean, I'm not trying to be ironic. I mean, they can't explain that. So it's just really, really weird to me. The way that they approach, it's just bizarre. It's bizarre. And
they made a non-crime a crime in order to go after.
Well, they did more than that.
Yeah.
It's because in this case, it was a non-crime that's a crime. And then in the case that Alvin Bragg brought with the payout, they tried to claim that maybe a state misdemeanor over bookmark or over bookkeeping. They had to say that it was as a way to hide from another criminal act that they never actually named or brought charges in, so they could try to elevate that accusation up to a felony. So imagine an algebra problem or just a simple math problem. 2 + 2 = 4. They're trying to say that 2 + mystery = 4. They're not going to define for you what that other number, what that other thing is, that other variable. They're not going to define it for you. They're not going to bring a charge over it. They're not going to do anything, but they need it to be a place marker so they can elevate that up to a felony, because a misdemeanor in New York, well, in Manhattan, I should say, you can, if it's in commission of another crime, if it's done to hide, cover up another crime, then it can be elevated to that of a felony at the discretion of the DA. And he had to really stretch to make that happen. But they never said what it was, because there's nothing there. It's also dumb. I don't know. I'm so aggravated about all this because go ahead and play this. This is audio sung by 12. She's like, well, I guess I could take his buildings.
13.
Or sorry, 13. Yes, correct.
If he does not have funds to pay off the judgment, then we will seek, judgment enforcement mechanisms in court. And we will ask the judge to seize his assets.
But based on what? There's no crime. No crime.
I mean, in these cases, you have to prove some sort of damages, right?
No,
how do you even get to that number though.
Yeah, you don't have to do that anymore.
But the damages at least are a guidepost as to what you're going to be asking for in the penalty phase of it. It's so odd.
No, it doesn't. You just do whatever the hell we want now.
It's clearly, I mean, it's lawfare. It's persecution on a political level. That's literally what this is.
I mean, can I just go out and start making citizens arrest on people? Because.
Not just because. You have to have a reason.
No, I don't. No, I don't. I can just take them into custody.
You're just going by Letitia James's.
You might call playbook. It kidnapping. It's not, though. It's a detainment, a citizen's arrest. Citizen's arrest. That's what it is. Citizen's arrest. I don't know. A couple of other things. Joe Biden said this morning, quote, starting today, the first round of folks who are enrolled in our SAVE student loan repayment plan, who have paid their loans for 10 years and borrowed $12,000 or less, are going to have their debt canceled. If you struggle to pay $12,000 in 10 years, you have problems that are not going to be solved by forcing taxpayers to assume your debt. What in the world? Even with the interest, what on earth? It's not canceled. If you don't want to pay for your college degree, why the hell should I pay for it? I mean, that feels like a legitimate question, right? Yeah. Can I claim all these people as my dependents?
Should be able to.
Blank the IRS. Can I claim Zelensky as a dependent?
Oh, we all should be able to.
Little
do
baby
that.
Zelensky is my dependent. You know, we all should be able to claim that. Good night. It's just shocking. So we're buying votes again. That's what that is. It's a vote buying scheme. I mean, that's all that is. It's a vote buying scheme. They're gonna pay off. Seriously, you can't pay $12,000 in 10 years. What? That seems really irresponsible to me. Very irresponsible, because it is.
Didn't the Supreme Court rule on this already, or am I?
Yeah, it doesn't matter anymore. Remember, you just do what you want.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if they don't have to follow certain laws, why do I? Like, why do I have to get a tax stamp if I want to own certain things?
Yes.
What if I want a silencer? What do I got to go ask permission? If I'm asking permission, I'm not free.
Right.
If you have to ask to do something, you're not free to do it. So I have an infringement. Infringed. What if I just don't feel like following certain laws? Right?
Yeah.
Like in Texas, you can make U-turns like everywhere. It's kind of annoying. Except in some spots where you actually do need to make a U-turn. That's annoying. I'm just going to make U-turns there. I do what I want. And that they try to pull me over. I like you, police. I appreciate what you do. But I'm just going to be like, I do what I want. And then just, you know, just speed away. Why not? We're just following whatever laws we want to. Laws are only as strong as the application is consistent. So, I don't know. It makes me feel. So we started watching Fargo, the TV series. It's actually pretty brilliant. And I really feel like, what's his face? What's the guy? The bad guy in it? Golly, I can't remember his name. Married to Angelina Jolie for a while. Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah,
I feel like Billy Bob Thornton's character right now. Like, you're just going to do what you want. Just, you know. If they don't have to follow the law, why should we? There's a double standard here. There's two systems of justice. I'm so tired of the two systems of justice. And I would imagine you all are as well. It's frustrating to say nothing with. I'm still looking at this AI stuff. So I was reading that. One journalist decided to ask Google AI, a libertarian journalist, about crime statistics in Houston broken down by race. And it refused to give the information and instead directed the reporter to context that supports a systemic racism narrative. Do you see? We are in 1984. Here's the Ministry of Truth, and it's run by AI. It's here.
Yep.
And it's almost too late. All of this DEI is being baked into it. Your kids are going to grow up. And they're going to be researching stuff and be told propaganda instead of truth. No one's going to know anything in history. We're not going to know anything about where we come from, what we've overcome, nothing. That's what we're going into right now. It is terrifying. If you've seen some of this stuff, it is absolutely wild. Someone else said, show me a portrait of a father. And it wouldn't do it. You ask it to show you a portrait of a mother, had no problem. It's wild. Now, at the same time this is all happening, one other quick headline. Customers are tired of price increases. So they're walking away from things. Several big brands are acknowledging that Americans are tired of inflation and they're walking away from products and services because they're just not dealing with the cost anymore. Walmart's noted this as well. Panera Bread has noticed a drop. They said that because people are, they're just, you know, they're comparing prices and, you know, if they're not going to get their soup at Panera Bread. You know, in St. Louis, we call it St. Louis Bread Company. It's weird to call it Panera, isn't it?
It is.
It is. It's so weird. But they're saying that inflation is really hitting everything. The higher cost for ingredients, materials, labor, everything. McDonald's, they said that they're trying to focus more on affordability. All their stuff had to go up and people have been leaving. They said that their sales fell almost about 1%. Baja Fresh, Wetzel's Pretzels, their whole food group, and they own a lot of restaurants. They said that their sales fell 1% yearly across brands. That's actually pretty significant. And they're trying to figure out how they can make General, how they're going to be able to deal with the increase in doing business and then selling. General Mills said that they are dealing with a, quote, continued challenging consumer landscape. They've seen, for instance, sales in pet food businesses fell over 4% on a yearly basis. Nobody's paying higher prices for dog treats or dog food or even cat food. They're trading down to less expensive treats if they're even giving them anymore. Everything. Kraft Heinz, they saw over 7% decline in their sales. And, I mean, this is hitting everybody. Home Depot, they've been planning for a year of moderation, a year of continued moderation. Customers have been reducing their average, and it's continuing to increase. It was under 1%. Now it's over 1%. They said that after they had the home renovation frenzy early in the pandemic, it stopped. No one's doing big ticket purchases anymore. They said hamburgers, even Shake Shack, increased their prices. They said that their store sales, their sales haven't decreased, but they're still increasing, but the rate of growth slumped. It's wild. It is wild. And now all these businesses are trying to figure out what to do. And it doesn't look like there's relief in sight.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Every time I see these fines, like a bank is fined, you know, $4 billion, right? And the SEC takes it. The victims had never seen anything, right? I don't know who's going to see this money. Again, no one filed a charge. No one filed a complaint. So it's just an old school. But I want to pick up on what you said, because the judge made a similar comment in this, right? He says, speaking of President Trump, they did not rob a bank at gunpoint. Donald Trump is not Bernie Madoff. Yet, defendants are incapable of admitting the error of their ways. It feels like the whole plan was to make President Trump bow, to make him, to humble him, to take away his swag, to, you know, to remove the veneer of the anti-establishment veneer, to break him down. That's what they're looking for, like they're going for more than anything else. And it keeps backfiring. And every time it backfires, someone sees themselves in President Trump.
He's right. I mean, that fine is still so crazy to me. And the fact that you have, as your only recourse, you have to willingly participate in your own financial destruction just to even get an appeal is just mind-blowing. That's not fairness. And they are polarizing. By playing their hand too hard, they're polarizing people. And they're pushing people to go against them. I mean, this is hard even for a lot of, you know, Democrats to explain. The ones that are being honest, anyway. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. All right. Before I take all Kane's time, it's time for Today in Stupidity.
Woo! And boy, is Hakeem Jeffries really giving everybody a run for their money. This is Hakeem Jeffries talking about, and picking up, by the way, this is the talking point that's gone out recently. If you're Republican and pro-Trump, you're pro-Putin. That's just how it is. Listen to what he says here.
I actually think that
money.
Donald Trump views himself as a Putin-esque
leader,
dictatorial figure.
Yeah.
He said it.
Yes.
And we should believe him that he wants to go down this road. And that's the problem that we're encountering with some of my Republican colleagues.
Oh, yeah?
That there's a growing pro-Putin faction.
Oh my gosh.
And it's led by Donald Trump, some other outside figures like Tucker Carlson.
This is what, and on the inside, and Tucker Carlson, of course.
Marjorie Taylor Greene and Jim Jordan.
If you've never, is this what it's like to be like high on meth, listening to him?
The stupidity is just dripping.
All right, folks, we've made it halfway through the week. Tomorrow's Thursday. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Got some stuff coming out for you later today. And of course, have a great night. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Find us on Facebook, YouTube, like and subscribe.